This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
And this is Megan Urquhart from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cote to Texas.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we wanted to talk a little bit about a sort of follow-up to our post a couple weeks ago about blogging jealousy. And it's been fascinating how many listeners we've had and how many comments of people being willing to talk about their jealousy. And unfortunately, with jealousy comes negativity sometimes and nasty comments. And we've seen over the last few months, I think we've all been victims of it a little bit, and we've seen a little bit of it, of the negativity. And interestingly, the April edition of issue of House Beautiful Magazine, editor Stephen Drucker actually took aim at this subject. And so Megan was going to read a little bit from that, and we wanted to talk about it.
Yes. So I'm looking at the April issue, and Stephen Drucker, editor-in-chief, has his letter from the editor, and it begins, "I don't usually do this, but I'm going to get up on my soapbox this month. There's a mean streak creeping into the design world, and it concerns me. It started on TV. I'm seeing it more in comments on blogs. Then recently, there was a decorating contest here in New York that turned way too Simon Cowell for me. Hurling around your opinions is part of the fun of design, but there is a line. Decorating is not a blood sport. I don't want to see the less confident among us playing it safe, just to avoid criticism. That's the 50s all over again. The decorator Mark Hampton, who had strong opinions and the eye to back them up, once wrote, I look askance at people who have these enormous refined senses of hate. That thought always makes me think twice before I speak. As much as I like great decorating, there are some things I like even more, individuality and an open mind."
Wow. I mean, I was floored when I read that comment by Drucker.
It was pretty blunt.
I just, where is that coming from? I mean, he's the editor of the top three design magazines, and, you know, he has a small space to express his opinion of design, you know, once a month, and he chose to talk about negativity in criticizing work through TV. I don't know what he's talking about. TV. Do y'all know? Design shows.
It started on TV. I'm seeing more in comments on blogs. Then recently there was this decorating contest. Well, we know the decorating contest is. I'm assuming
it was.
I don't want to be presumptuous, but I am assuming he's talking about the Bloomingdale's window.
Yeah, that's what I would assume.
Competition.
Well, he sort of mentions Simon Cowell, so maybe that's what he's talking about, is all the reality shows, you know, of which American Idol is one of them, but certainly all the Bravo shows. There's a lot of negativity in those shows. Backstabbing.
Well, and especially when it's design shows on TV.
Because it's about creative. Well, but any of those.
Any of those are creative.
Expression of creativity. I mean, and you know, really, I applaud that he took this little space, although I'm just as surprised as you guys, that he took this little space to address this, because it's true. I mean, it's really going to be a detriment to a creative person. If you're not strong and super confident, you're going to start editing yourself. I mean, I have found it when I've gotten really, in the beginning of blogging, when I first started blogging, and I would get some really gnarly, mean comments, I would have to say that it took me a week or so to sort of, like, you know, come back and go, you know what? I'm not going to let them edit me. It can cause you to edit your voice.
Yeah.
I was just saying, I applaud him for pointing this out. Like, you know, behave yourselves. It's kind of fun, but do it with restraint and do it with purpose if you're going to comment, you know, critique rather than criticize.
But do y'all think that this is such a big issue that it's something that he should cover? I mean, are y'all seeing this negativity commenting in the blogosphere?
Well, yeah, in the blogs.
It's always been there, though, right?
I don't know. I thought it seemed...
I mean, there's a few snarky comments here and there, but is it really... I mean, most comments on my blog are very nice. I mean, 99.9%.
Right, but you still get some major nastiness on your blog and on different blogs and whole blogs dedicated to slamming people. And, you know, personally, I think all of that drags everybody down. And, you know, one that's the one bad apple. theory. And I sensed it. I mean, I sensed it after the new year. It just seemed like everybody was just constantly going after everybody else. And, you know, if you don't like someone,
you know,
don't.
It's funny. I was out to dinner with some people, one of whom was a guy who is a, he's a chef. He's part of the whole, you know, gourmand Epicurean world. And I was talking about West Week taking place, and there, and he had never heard of anyone or any publication I talked about. I said, isn't that weird when I pull myself out of that world and I sit here at dinner and I talk to you, who's in the whole foodie world, you're clueless. I mean, he wanted to know, but he said, oh no, we've got our own blogs and we've got, you know, our own publications and we have our own really mean commenters and mean blogs. It goes on in all these different genres.
Oh yeah,
of blogs.
Absolutely. Yeah, a friend of mine writes a, she's her business is stress and wellness. And she says that. She's like, oh my God, it's so like high school.
I had something interesting happen to me this week. There's a blog in Houston called Swamp Plot. And he guessed, the guy that writes it, he'll pull a story that I wrote on my blog and he'll put it on his and he puts a little spin on it. And, you know, he's been really nice and got me a lot of coverage. So he took the Alvin's House, which was some work I had posted, and he put it on his blog. And so I went to read the comments, and there were like 15 comments, and they were all so mean. They're all horrible, you know? And I'm not used to that, because conversely of what Drucker is saying, I get the opposite, where everyone is always so nice, you know? So here was showing this house, and everyone was going, oh, this is just awful, and oh, I mean, it is just so formulaic, and so I left a comment on there, and I said, thank y'all, this is really refreshing, actually, and it was refreshing to hear honesty.
Were they true critiques, or were they just nasty?
I'm sure they're very young, probably 20 something people that like more West Elm, you know, more modern. And
this wasn't their style.
Yeah, it wasn't their style.
Yeah.
At all. So but in a way I kind of found it refreshing to just see blatant honesty for once, because the commenting does tend to be overly nice as opposed to overly mean. So that's why this thing by Drucker kind of surprised me. I was like, wow, am I missing something?
I don't know. I felt that, you know, there's just been there's meanness in a lot of places that's just unnecessary. I mean, why do you have someone who posts comments on your blog and others about you, Joni, your slipcover hater, stalker? And, yeah. You know, I mean, that's, why is that? Why does someone feel the need to do that?
And why does someone? I still don't understand why someone feels they are having a conversation on the same plane with integrity when they write a nasty comment and anonymously. I mean, if you're not going to talk to me with your own voice, i.e., attaching your name and a link to who you are, then we're not on the same plane. We're not having the same conversation, and your comment has no integrity behind it, right? Because you can't back it.
Well,
no,
I mean,
I don't understand why people need to do that.
Yeah, well, there's a whole blog, Girl World Decor. I mean, you know, that's the most obscene blog I've ever seen, because, you know, she slams other people, and then she or he, we don't know who she is, or he is. I keep thinking it may be a guy, I don't know. You know, I mean, that's awful, yet respected other bloggers seem to think it's the best thing ever. And I don't get it. You know, people do like a little bit of snark. And a little bit of snark, if it's done with humor and intelligence, can be great. I don't know.
Well,
I'm not surprised I'm surprised that he would give, you know, it's such a large forum to give the editorial page of a major shelter magazine.
But you know what, y'all? Blogging and all of these shows where they're judging people's work and on TV and all that, I mean, it's our opinion, right? When I'm on my blog, it's my opinion. And I have comments. I'm not moderating them. So why can't people speak honestly? And if they don't like
that,
it, they don't like it. You know? I mean,
I don't have a problem with that at all.
Well,
in fact, I'm with you.
It, he seems to have a problem with that.
It's not about having oppositional tastes or opinions. I don't think it is about that. I think it's I think this is more about people being mean. Right? I mean, you can have an opposing position on, you know, on whether you like something. I don't think that's a big deal. But I think that there's a way to do it, and then there's a way that's laced with arsenic. There's a way that it sounds not just contrary, but kind of mean.
Well, or very mean. I mean, Joni, you had commenters going after your family. That wasn't appropriate.
Oh, that's right. I mean, that's just mean.
You know, that's what he means. He's not talking about critical commentary. Even if it's slightly, you know, nasty critical commentary, he's not talking about creative criticism. He's talking about...
Because, by the way, he appreciated the fact that we had that conversation that was critical of the
Kip's Bay.
Copper.
Yeah. Right. You know, because we weren't insulting Bunny Williams personally. We were...
If we had Bunny Williams on the Skirted Roundtable, would we have said those things? No.
No, but I think that, you know, that's just, you know, put someone on the spot that way. No critic does.
That's manners.
That's manners. You know, you don't put someone on the spot and make them defend themselves. We've all criticized rooms we've seen in magazines, and as long as you do it in a way that's, you know, genuinely critical as opposed to genuinely harsh. Oh, this person's a pig. Look what they did. I mean, that's not appropriate, but... Gee, I don't know why they put that table there, or boy, this doesn't go with that, or why is this in a magazine? The scale and proportion is awful. You know, that's genuine critical opinion, which is very different. We, you know, I think we did a podcast about that. So, you know, and yeah. I think that I think the Bloomingdale's window contest, which we're all assuming is what Stephen was referring to, you know, that just got to be, it went from being this fun charitable event to this sort of one-upsmanship of, you know.
I didn't really follow...
I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know if I missed something on that whole, and even if we may be talking about something completely different.
I don't think so, Megan. I think he is talking about that contest, but...
Well, I'm just covering myself, so I'm not, I'm just covering myself.
Right. We don't know.
The only thing I remember was there was some accusations flying that maybe... AT wasn't playing fair with their voting or whatever, but that's the only thing I ever heard. And
well, you read the comments that came in, the two major players really were Eddie Ross for Eldecor and Maxwell Gilliam Ryan for Apartment Therapy.
But did people criticize?
Yes. If you read the comments, I think the point was it's not that Eddie and Eldecor were criticizing Maxwell and Apartment Therapy, and I feel like Bloomingdale's got kind of left out of that whole thing because they rose above it, maybe. And they were not, you know, they went after each other as far as going after getting votes, and then, you know, there was some stuff there, but I think it was their followers. They each had camps, and those camps... were saying all manner of terrible things about the other rooms.
I don't know that Bloomingdale's was really in the running, I hate to say it, because, I mean, who had the voice, you know? I mean, you have Apartment Therapy and you have Eddie Ross and those...
They didn't have a blog behind them.
No, right. That was exactly
right. Both of them
right.
have quite an audience and a following that backed them. But, you know, I don't know if you... I mean, you all... Do you read Apartment Therapy? I've read it for years. As long as it's been around, I think. And... over the years, it's really turned very, it's just gotten really nasty. The comments are nasty.
It is?
The comments are nasty, not the writing of
just
the... Yeah.
Nasty little people sitting in their little dark hovels someplace. It's troll-like. I mean, it's just you don't even want to, it's hard to read. For me, it's hard to read. I just don't like the energy there.
Well, it does seem like there's a lot of people who read it that are, you know, very... Ugh, why would you even like that? You know, like, you know, little kids on the playground or seventh graders who say, you can't be friends with so-and-so.
That would be third grade. We have it go on in our house.
Yeah,
all the
you know,
that's
how can you be,
how
can you be friends with that person? And you know, and so that's what you get the sense in Apartment Therapy is the, you know, how can you like that kind of design? That's not hip.
I guess that's what he's talking about then.
And, well, that was what I felt, was that he wasn't talking about the, you know, the players in the contest. He's talking about commenters, and there's just sort of this.
Yeah.
But what foments it? You know, what is something fomenting? What is the chicken or the egg? You know, what foments mm-hmm. commenters to feel that they can be vitriolic? But then they're that way. You know, the political blogs, I'm sure, are, you know, if you read Huffington Post, you ever read the comments on Huffington Post, and if you happen to be a Republican reading the comments on Huffington Post, you have to go wash yourself afterwards.
Because
they're so horrible.
Go read Michelle Malkin and go read her comments.
Right. On the other side.
Awful.
Is she awful? Yeah. Is she on the other side? I don't know who that is.
Michelle Malkin is, you know, right wing.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who that is. But yes, I'm sure her commenters are just as vociferous in that direction and nasty and inappropriate and horrible. And so, you know, I think there's a general sense of it in the online world, because we're all sitting, it's like little kids being the bullying that's going on, the cyberbullying. You can do it be a lot harsher online than you would ever be in person. Like you said, would we have ever criticized Bunny Williams' room to Bunny Williams? And the answer is absolutely not.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that because you'd be putting her on the spot. Whereas if someone brokered it, we could have probably had a good conversation with her.
I mean, you would ask questions maybe and say, you know, educate us. Why did you do that? Tell us why you made the choices you did.
Right.
Because educate us. We don't know.
Right. And Joni, you had done last year the a critique
right.
of the woman whose husband is the rock star, and it was in El Decor.
Lindsay Buckingham.
Yes. Sorry, I never know anyone's names or who they are. But you didn't do that. You weren't insulting. You weren't personally insulting. You were.
Well, I held myself back, Linda.
Yeah, but
I mean,
but well, that's just fine. You held yourself back because you're a polite person who knows you don't do that in print. You know, you kept it to where you should have kept it, in my opinion, which is your critical eye criticizing the design. And as we know, El Decor was not insulted. You know, they were like, hey, let's have Margaret come on the show.
maybe it has to do with quality, because like, take Jill Brinson's room, a house that was in HB mm-hmm. a couple of months ago. Man, I mean, people love that house, you know. I mean, almost 99.5% just went crazy for her house. Loved it, the comments, and then Vamp, you know, copied the room, and then I copied the room, and all the comments were so positive. So maybe it's just quality. When you get something that's really great, people are going to love it, you know? And if it's not good quality, they're going to be
I think it depends on the audience, because I know people that didn't love that room.
Yeah, I read some criticisms about that room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. So, you know, not everyone's going to like everything, and that's okay. There is not.
And thank God.
Right.
Thank God, right?
Right. I don't think there's one space in the world that's ever existed that you could say everybody, 100% of people would love, because that's why taste varies.
Yeah, that was okay. I mean, I think that either you love, I'm sure there are people that hated that because they don't get it and they don't like it, period. But then I just think a lot of people did like it.
Oh, absolutely.
It, you know?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of people liked it.
It's very popular, yeah.
It was a very popular room.
I do think that maybe it is just when something is really great, you know, people are really going to stand behind it. And when it's just mediocre, they're going to tear it apart because they sit behind their computer and not knowing knows who they are.
Right. And I think that that's what Stephen is getting at in his post, in his editorial, is what about, are people going to start self-editing? You know, people did rip Bunny Williams' room apart, and some people defended it to the core. And, you know, people who saw it in person, I know a lot of people who said to us, you know, well, I was in that room and it was beautiful in the room and it made sense. But I personally know people who went to the show, other designers, who said, I was in there, I didn't like it. You know, so personal opinion.
Yes.
And so I think that, you know, there's an example. Bunny Williams is at a level that I would hope that she doesn't feel the worry about being criticized by the likes of us. So she's not going to edit herself for fear of.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do y'all think that there is a designer out there that would say, hey, I'm not going to put that fabric on this sofa because people are going to talk bad about it on a blog? No.
I don't know. Not like a Bunny Williams, but sure, I think there are plenty of people who are, you know, just they're doing design because they love it. And then someone gets a hold of it and puts it on the, you know, wants to put it on their blog, and they may go, I don't know, because I don't really want to hear people critique it. I liked it, you know, or maybe, yeah, I do think that. I don't think that everyone has huge amounts of confidence in this area.
Right.
Nor do they really feel like they really want their house ripped or, you know, somebody else's, you know, the work
that
they've done.
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. Those are two different things. What I'm saying is, going by what Drucker is saying, would you not decorate in a certain way because someone might critique it? No, I don't believe that. So,
I don't know. I think that
I have work that I did that I don't put on the blog because I know it's bad, or it's just, you know, it was client driven work, and it's not my work and it's not my vision, so I don't put it on the blog because it would be received negatively, I guess. But I did what the client wanted. I didn't say, oh, no, I can't because people are going to cut it down. You know, I just wouldn't show it, you know?
Right. But if you were doing a show house or, you know, something where you wanted to go out on a limb, I don't, you know, I think that everybody's different. And I think that there may be some people who would sort of, or that's his concern, is will people, you know, if there's a toxic atmosphere, does it get to the point where there are certain designers who might not be able to handle that? Some will and some won't.
Well, I think designers are so full of themselves that they think everything they do is great, you know.
See, I disagree. I think designers are more like artists, and artists are very insecure people. I think there's an awful lot of bravado. And, you know, when you know you love something and you know it's right, you know it. But I think art is very subjective, and we come under a lot of criticism, or artists do, and it can lead to insecurity.
I think they're fragile egos in this world.
Yeah.
In the creative world. I think there are a lot of, and I think you're right, I think where there's this deficit of ego, there's this enormity of cockiness sometimes, you know? I mean, it's...
Well, I fall in the other category.
What do you mean, the other
category? You just admit it, which makes you... That's why we love you, because you're...
No, I just, you know... I mean, I just, you know, I wouldn't be... I would be the one that would be going, oh, God, you know, please, this is awful. But don't y'all think that the top designers think that their stuff is just always fabulous?
No, I really don't.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying none of them are that sure, but everybody has insecurities. And, you know, everybody has designed a room. I'm sure every top designer, and if they disagree with me, call us up. Every top designer has designed a room that they go, well, that's not really what I wanted. And not because the client made them do it differently, but because, you know, it just didn't come out the way they wanted.
You make mistakes sometimes, yeah. Right? I agree with you. I agree.
Or they went out on a limb and ended up thinking, it didn't work out as well as I wanted. To look better in my head. You know, yeah. I find, you know, I'm just, they're human. They're not superhuman people. They're human people.
The guy who cuts my hair was just talking about some designer, and I'm not going to say his name. He's a big designer in LA, and he was talking about how he had this designer had helped one of my hair guy's clients redo a beach house in Malibu, and how he had done all this work and then decided when it was almost finished that he made a mistake and actually a wall needed to be removed. So they ripped everything out and started from scratch. But the client was so enamored and apparently had the budget that they just went ahead with it. But so here's this guy got that far, went, wait, mistake, I gotta start over again.
And he paid for it himself.
I asked that. I said, who paid for that? And he said, I you know, I don't know if the designer did or the client. And he said, my client, my hair cutter and this designer shared the same client. Okay, if that makes sense. So he said, I don't know. The client seemed to be okay with it. They were just thrilled that this man was even, you know, doing their Malibu home. So I thought that was really interesting.
Well, but when I've done that with paint colors, you know, that I've painted a whole room.
I have too.
Approved it and then walked in and said, oh my God, no, this has got to be changed. It's not right.
But not a wall. Not an entire wall being...
And then you have to... I pay for the paint job.
You paid for the... You paid to have it repainted.
Yeah.
I mean, so I guess you extrapolated if this is a big-name designer, if you ramp up Joni Webb, you know, any one of us repainting a wall, paying to repaint a room because we decided we didn't like our choice, I guess I would assume the big-name designer, if it was truly his mistake... of vision or planning or whatever it was, he should pay for it.
You would hope so.
You know, and I think that as a rational client, you would say, wow, he's really thinking about my job. He was willing to say, oh, that's not working the way I wanted it to. Let's do this. And
it happens because it does happen. Know, there's so many variables that go into color, for instance, if you're doing that. So I can imagine it happens.
Yeah.
You know, you get I feel like we've had actually designers talk about that, haven't we? Haven't people talked about that?
Maybe.
Going back to what Drucker said,
yeah,
I do, you know, these rooms, like these TV shows where they have to design a room using objects they found at the grocery store. I mean,
yeah.
It's all
at the
night, so
those are stupid.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so stupid. But then when you think about, like, top designer or whatever for clothes.
Project Runway.
They just rip them to shreds. I always, you know, it is true. They knock them off and, you know, these are people that are clothes designers.
Right. Well, that's the thing is if you really watch those shows and then you read the blogs that cover those shows like Project Runway, people just get mean. And they get mean about the designer. They get mean about the models. They get, you know, and it's not just... ugh, he's a terrible designer. It's, he's so ugly. She's so fat.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, he's got a lisp. Ugh, he couldn't be gayer. Or she couldn't be more butch. You know, it's comments like that that are just not germane to
the... What's the point of that?
There's no point of that.
There's no point. That's where, that makes no sense.
I mean, when the first
thing... That is the point of it, really. Those shows, I was looking at... the new Donald Trump celebrity
apprentice,
and half the people on there are like have been on a million reality shows already. You know,
there's a circuit for that.
Yeah,
it's like a whole thing being on these reality shows and Brent Michaels.
It's a subgenre. There used to be B actors and D actors. This is not even rated in that area. It's just this sort of subgenre.
They're RS. Actors, reality show actors.
Yeah. Kate Gosling.
Kate Gosling, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think
she'll be on Trump next.
She will be on Trump next. I mean, I think people like that, it's usually they had some big level of stardom. They had some big level of stardom or infamy for a very short period of time and then can't give it up. So then all of these reality shows have come in to give them, you know, spin out their careers and pay them some piddly little amount of money.
I always laugh because where I live, you can't literally you go out on a weekend, you go to any of the little bars or restaurants in our town, and there's always somebody from a reality show. Or I went to a 4th of July picnic, and there were 3 or 4 different reality show people there. And
filming, you mean?
No. They've been in, like, this one girl was like, do I know you? And she said, I think you might be too old. I was in the Real World season, whatever, and I don't remember what it was. I was like, unfortunately, I had watched it, but I was like, that's why.
That's a long time.
The reason they stay in LA because now they think that they're in the industry, they're in the business, so they are still trying to, you know, get a job or I don't know, stay in the business.
But these design shows, they're so stupid, you know, these reality design, those
they're boring.
Shows.
You mean the interior
really
design shows? Or
Yeah.
Well, I just think...
The shows or the contest?
Real life.
You're talking about the contest, not like the HGTV shows, right?
No, the contest, like on Bravo and...
Well,
Trading Spaces? Remember Trading Spaces?
Yeah. That wasn't really...
That was stupid, though.
It was stupid.
That, like, ruined it for all of us, because then we had these clients who were like, I have $1,000.
Right.
You know, what's your budget? $1,000.
But, I mean, Bravo's not running top design anymore. They ran a two...
So
they ran a two... Well, you know what? Interior design cannot be done in that format.
It isn't interior design. It's set production at that
level.
Well, I mean, that's right, but they're trying to call it interior design, and they've had very, very talented design contestants who are designers, real designers, who put out crap work because they're not given any, they can't do any better. You can design and build a gown in 2 days. You may have to cut corners, and it may be very difficult, but you can build a whole outfit in 2 days. I've made clothes, I sew, I know you can do it. But you can't design a room and paint a room and have paint dry and sew curtains.
And construct furniture. And put in new countertops. That's not interior design. That's construction work.
Well, on top design, they had people helping them. So doing a lot of that stuff. They had contractors. So they weren't necessarily expected to do that themselves. But the point is it takes too long to do the work. So they were having to, they didn't have they weren't given enough to be able to put out really good work that showcased what these people really could do. And so it was boring to the audience, and the audience wasn't there because the end results were not spectacular. We've wavered really far away from what Stephen Drucker had to say.
I think
it's certainly true having really covered those shows. I mean, the commentary on those shows, the criticism of individuals and how mean the people on the shows got. I mean, our friend Eddie certainly was very unpleasant on Top Design.
Well, speaking of Eddie, because Eddie seems to be at this vortex of what Drucker, because he was on a design show on TV. He was involved in that contest, and he does have a blog. But Eddie is so universally loved. He never gets negative comments, So it's interesting that the three things that Drucker pointed out, Eddie was involved in, yet everybody loves him. Rightly so, because he's adorable and very, very talented, So
I think, though, it was about the commenters, not the players. I think that, honestly, I believe that the apartment therapy commenters may be what he's talking about. I don't know how much Stephen Drucker was looking at apartment therapy until maybe this all came about. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe he was surprised because it's been going on a long time on apartment therapy, these just gnarly, nasty, mean commenters. Maybe it was a surprise to him. I think that they've even taken to editing their commenters because it was getting a bad reputation and people were not really interested in sitting with that after a while.
I do think that these editors of magazines now, because everything they put out 2 weeks later, it's all over the blog. And it does get a lot of, I guess there are, negative things and maybe they're hearing back from designers, who are saying, God, people are talking so bad about my work,
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that's life today on the internet. Everything is dissected and it's just life
today. But I think what he was going back to was that the critiquing is one thing, but causing this sort of gray cloud over it all so that it intimidates people. That's a whole other thing, and it's not cool, and it's not good, and it's certainly not going to, if you're so upset and bothered by bad design, by critiquing to the level of meanness, you're certainly not going to get good design out of that. You're going to get people afraid to express themselves, and so.
What about these blogs like Mogget? How do y'all pronounce it? The Mogget?
I guess Mogget, yeah.
Where their whole blog is just ripping to shreds someone's design.
I think, in a
humorous, cute way.
Well, I think for one thing, they are legitimately funny, and they never go after the people. They go after, admittedly, mostly very silly design work that's done in a very funny way. Now, that doesn't mean to say they haven't picked some rooms. Obviously, there are people behind those designs, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've always just found that they really separate the person from the thing they're showing. That doesn't mean that person doesn't feel that way. But as a reader, you're not thinking, unless you know who designed it. You're not thinking of the person related to it. You're thinking that thing was silly. And let's face it, there's an awful lot of silly design out there.
If they put on one of your rooms and did it in their way that they do it, how would it feel? Do you think it would feel okay, they're right,
a little bit, or would it hurt?
But see, they don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, they don't go after a regular room. They go after, you know, things that look like mops and things that look like,
Right.
So I can appreciate if, as I said, if it was your work, yes, you wouldn't be all that thrilled. But they don't say this room, oh God, Linda Merrill did this room. It's so, isn't she an idiot? You know, and then say something funny about it. It's strictly about what that item is, never about who created it. And I think that gives them a little bit of, you know, that
like
that's
the, like the tampon chandelier. Did you see that?
Yeah. I didn't, but
no,
yeah.
But that would be, I don't know about that, but yeah.
You know, so I do think that I think they're funny. I think they find very funny.
Oh, yeah, they're hysterical.
You know, they find very funny things to say or see things in a way that you're like, oh my God, that's so true. I'll never look at it the same way again. At least that's, as I said, it's humorous where it's separating the product from the person. And I think that that's a lot more legitimate than making comments about what people look like or making comments about.
Or their family.
Or their family or what their family's wearing or their snuggies or whatever, you know.
Right.
Or me with what, you know, the person who was commenting about what my headshot or my photograph. I shouldn't be wearing that. I look like an Italian widow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a couple of years ago. You shouldn't wear that. You look like an Italian widow. Okay.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Anyway, it was just interesting that he took the space and the time to talk about snarkiness and commenting.
Or whatever. I mean, we don't really know what he was talking about, whether it was commenting or what. It feels to us like it was. Or at least feels to me like it was.
Stephen always seems to celebrate the unique and the different and you know, always seems to be looking beyond and what's out there and what's new and coming up. So I can see why this could be, he would be sensitive to this. I mean, I appreciate that. Didn't you? I felt like I picked that up with him when we talked to him, and I appreciated that in him, that he's not, that he doesn't want that to get held back by someone who has bad, frankly, really bad manners. I don't know who your mothers are out there, but whoever you are who make those kind of comments, yeah, shame on you, is what he's saying, I think.
Yeah, it was just interesting that it was addressed like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. It was really interesting.
I kind of felt a little, you know, at first you think, God, is he talking about me? You know, I mean, not me, you know, but just kind of start
busted.
Feeling a little
guilty.
Let's look for the initials JW and see if they show up anywhere.
No,
it was,
I mean,
code.
Like, did I say something mean about something? You know, nobody.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Coat to Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. Thank you so much for joining us. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com or download our podcasts from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. Thanks again, and we'll be back soon.